Welcome to our latest Grazia Beauty Life Lessons. I am Jolie Walker and it is great as always to have you with us. Our guest this time first started blogging about skincare over a decade ago and has come to be known globally as a source of straight-talking beauty advice.
Hi everyone, I'm Caroline Hirons. I have been told to say that I am a best-selling skincare author and a skincare expert and things of that nature.
Caroline's book, Skincare, the Ultimate No-Nonsense Guide, launched last year and fast became the best-selling beauty title of all time. But the advice on offer is always sensible and down to earth.
Every day I'm like, okay, what are we doing today? Oh, the eyes look like two piss holes in the snow. Let's focus on that, shall we? Or we're flaking. How lovely. That's lovely. You look like you have a bogey, but it's actually just a piece of skin.
Her career as the nation's straight-talking skinfluencer has seen her accumulate hundreds of thousand followers and fans across social media, including over 100,000 members in her Skincare Freaks group on Facebook, whom she refers to affectionately as the Freaks. And she said it all started with a piece of down-to-earth advice from her mum.
The first thing my mum said to me was, okay, you can wear makeup, but you have to learn how to wash your face properly.
So good it advice.
Was, I mean, she pretty much kick-started the whole brand.
As always, there are loads of brilliant tips in this episode, but because Caroline's area of expertise is all things skincare, that is what we're focused on for the whole chat.
Don't overdo it. We, as an industry, have bombarded people with product in terms of you absolutely have to have a vitamin C, a retinoid, a niacinamide, an azelaic acid, a hyaluronic acid, a glycolic. And actually you don't. Find what works, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
This week sees the launch of Caroline's House of Hirons event and Hall of Fame kits, including three collections of 21 tried, tested and loved skincare products. So it is the perfect time to catch up with her for a chat. Welcome, Caroline. How are you today?
I'm very stressed, as normal. How are you, lovely?
Oh, no. Why are you stressed?
Just, you know, things going on and house things falling apart and busy and work and Hall of Fame things. It's good. It's all fine. It's just, it's not like, you know, when you're like good busy, today is kind of...
Busy.
Frustratingly busy. But
well,
not for you.
You've got a lot going on.
You've got a lot
coming up.
I've locked the doors. Everything's cool. I am all yours.
Oh, I like it. Well, yeah, thank you so much for joining us again. And this is a very special episode of Grazia Beauty Life Lessons. So, of course, we couldn't have you on without going all in on skincare. So we are deviating slightly from our usual five pieces of beauty advice, and we're focusing solely on skincare today. So no doubt everyone listening will already know that you are the absolute go-to when it comes to honest, no bullshit, straight-talking skincare advice. But in terms of your own routine at the moment, tell us, like, what are you doing? What are you testing? Have you switched things up for autumn? What do we need to know?
I have, actually. I mean, it's strange because when I say it to the guys in the office, they look at me really shocked, but I don't really use acid at the moment. There just comes a point when you're menopausal, let's just jump straight into the M word. There just comes a point when you're menopausal where your skin does not tolerate what it used to tolerate, in the way that your mind and mouth do not tolerate things either. But but with skincare, my face doesn't need as much acid as it used to, and I am trialing some retinols that are really good, and I'm getting enough exfoliation, frankly. So I'm doing a lot of just my usual, you know, cleansing, the odd serum, but really, because I'm testing retinols, I'm not really doing that much except moisturising and SPF and eye cream. I mean, you know, I'll have an eye cream in my coffin, frankly. But I have dropped things like I'm not using acid daily. I mean, once a week, maybe at the moment, if I'm lucky, or if my skin decides it needs it. And then, yeah, I don't really go for switching up to a really thick moisturiser. I just go for something that's just got a bit more weight in it, you know? I think the days of using grease, we left them behind in the 60s and 70s. Maybe a little bit of the 80s sneaked in there, but I will definitely switch from something that's more sort of like a water gel base to a proper emulsion, which just has a bit more oil in it. But I don't immediately think, oh, I need to use everything that's thicker and richer and all that sort of stuff. So it's a bit of everything, but not as much as I have done in previous years, for sure.
But you're just kind of listening to your skin then. You're not thinking, okay, it's autumn, I have to do this. You're thinking, okay, my skin needs this, so I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
Intuitive.
Literally,
intuitive.
It's very much like every day I'm like, okay, what are we doing today? Oh, the eyes look like two piss holes in the snow. Let's focus on that, shall we? Or we're flaking. How lovely. That's lovely. You look like you have a bogey, but it's actually just a piece of skin. How lovely. So that is, and that's just a slightly more moisturiser day. You know, it depends. But yeah, you really should be checking your face the way that, you know, the way you would change your hair every day, you know? I mean, if you're really lucky and you get up and you can just leave the house without looking at your hair, I mean, I hate you, but well done. But it's the same for your skin, you know? You look at your skin and you're like, okay, I've got a new spot. What's that related to? I've got X, Y, Z. My eyes are dark, you know? Just go from there. And it's not to make a big drama out of it. It's just, you know, to sort of make your own little cocktail, I suppose.
Like it. Always like a cocktail. So obviously we have to talk about the upcoming Hall of Fame. And I have been following the teaser posts on Insta, and obviously this is going to be huge, like huge, huge. Can you tell us at this point just about the Hall of Fame, both the products and the pop-up House of Hirons, so the Weekender in London?
Yep. So we have 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Halloween weekend, basically the 30th, 31st and 1st of November. We had 10 times as many people apply for tickets than we had tickets.
Whoa.
They on paper, they were gone in like 20 seconds, but we broke Eventbrite. That was fun.
I saw that when you broke it. I was actually
glad, because I know it sounds awful. I don't mean I was glad that people were inconvenienced. I was glad to see it wasn't just us that have had struggles with the volume of people that we bring to sites, because it's happened to us more than once. And each time we think, oh, we fixed it now, we're good. And then if we killed Eventbrite, that was lovely. I was like, oh, thank God it's not just us. So that sounds awful. But and also, you have learnings when you do things like this. So we knew to do it in two drops, because then if the first drop doesn't go to plan, you've got, first of all, people can't always buy tickets at the time you put them on sale. So we always had two drops planned. And then funnily enough, we had Eventbrite on the phone in between those two dates. Right. So we see the volume you're bringing. And it worked the second time around, thank God.
Oh, good.
So we have the House of Hirons. I did not pick that name. I find it very entertaining. The family find it very entertaining.
I love it.
And then the Hall of Fame are the kits. So the kits will be on sale at the pop-up, but they will also be on sale at the shop outside. So we're having two shops, one inside for when we sort of finish your session and on your way out. And then almost like being at a gig, you know, there's a merch stand, as it were. And then another one that's external, but undercover, obviously, that people can just come along to, and you don't need a ticket for that, because we knew there would be demand. We kind of knew it would be as busy as it's turned out to be. So, you know, we've kind of, like I say, we've learned over past events and things over the past few years. But we have the external shop also, which will be selling the kits, and I will be making all of the session speakers except one who has to catch a flight will also be popping out to say hello to people who are at the shop. So it's nice. Trying to make sure that even if you didn't get a ticket and you can't come in and see it all and you can't come in and experience the actual session talks, at least they may get the chance, if depending on what time they pop along, they may get the chance of meeting the people who are speaking.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds amazing. And not long now. So Halloween weekend in the diary.
Yeah, I can't.
In the diary.
So stressful.
Oh, no. It's going to be amazing.
Terrifying.
Okay, amazing. Let's jump in with your first piece of advice then. So, Caroline, tell me, what is your first piece of skincare advice today?
Well, my mum's first was, obviously, I think most people buy makeup before they buy skincare. And my first product, like a lot of women my age, was a Bourjois blush. I was in Boots, and I don't know why I bought a blush as opposed to like eyeshadow or mascara. I just thought, oh, I'll buy a blusher. They were cute and round and pink and, you know. And the first thing my mum said to me was, okay, you can wear makeup, but you have to learn how to wash your face properly.
So good it advice.
Was, I mean, she pretty much kick-started the whole brand, really, by saying that, because that became the backbone of everything we do. The first blog post I ever wrote was cleansing massage when you're washing your face properly. And I ended up doing a blog because people weren't washing their face and it was distressful. They were on Twitter doing like endless chat about makeup and face wipes, and I just couldn't take it anymore. So I started the blog. So face wipes, inadvertently, along with my mum's advice, started the blog.
And then you stepped in and you said, no, come on. But also I'll say, Caroline, that sometimes we forget the most simple things. Either we forget or we might not know, but you forget the kind of basics. And that's, like you say, you build your whole skincare routine on that.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, the amount of people and young women especially these days who spend an hour doing their makeup but don't want to remove it properly and think that a packet of wipes by the side of the bed is going to be good enough when you get in and you're drunk, and then wonder why their skin isn't good, and then they buy a heavier foundation to hide their skin and they don't target what they're doing to their skin. So it's that vicious circle. So number one would definitely be wash your face. and wash it properly.
Okay, so what we're talking about, what are your kind of favourite textures to wash your face with, and what are you using at the moment?
It depends on your age, your lifestyle. There's so many options. You know, if you are going to wash your face in the shower, which I don't do because I like the water fairly warm, and, you know, like a light gel, that's fine, or a foaming but not foaming, like not a stripping foam, just a foam maybe that foams through the mechanics of the packaging, as it were. I like a cleansing milk. I like a cream. I'll use a balm if I'm taking off makeup and SPF in the evening. But pretty much cleansers are my wardrobe. I mean, I have more cleansers than anything else, for sure.
Cleansing wardrobe. And also you mentioned then, Caroline, about your first ever blog post. So when you started the blog, what did you have in mind? Like, were you kind of straight to the kind of no-nonsense beauty? Is that what you wanted it all to be about? Or what was your kind of first instinct?
I didn't really have one, because obviously the blog is 11 and a half years old now. So it was very much, people were blogging at the time. It was all makeup or nails. Nails was huge when I started blogging. No one was doing skincare, certainly not doing skincare in isolation. You know, it was all, oh, there's a little bit of this. Kiehl's have got a new moisturiser. Whoopee-doo. It was that kind of thing. And so I think it was just the perfect storm for me. I didn't really plan it. I just saw that, you know, play to your strengths. I think I was old enough to play to my strengths and not try and be in with the in crowd, because I'm never going to be as young as the people who are younger than me. You know, I'm one of the sort of, they call me like the godmother / grandmother of blogging, mainly because I am now a grandmother. But in terms of, you know, being around from the early days, but being a bit older, a lot of the girls who blogged were in their early 20s and I wasn't. And also they had the time and the skill set to do either a perfect makeup, perfect smoky eye, perfect nails, all of it, you know, photographed beautifully. Whereas I was working full time, had 4 kids, and would just sort of occasionally vomit words onto a page like, don't do that, do this. And it kind of took off. And then I obviously took it more seriously and thought, okay, maybe you should actually take a decent picture. Let's use an Instagram filter at least. Yeah. And it just kind of went from there. There was never any plan. It was literally, I can't describe to you in 140 characters, how to wash your face properly and cleanse and massage on Twitter. And a few of my girlfriends who were in the blogging world, who I'd also worked with in places like Space NK, just said, just do a blog. In those days, like, everyone was doing it. And I literally signed up. It was like Google, and it was blogspot.co.uk. You know, it was literally Blogspot. And then eventually you upgrade to WordPress. And I was terrified of upgrading because I just thought, oh, this is going to be way too technical for me. I don't know what I'm doing. And then it went from there. And yeah, and I just sort of realised my niche was, I was older, I was qualified, I worked in the industry, I had good contacts, I could find out things for people. I've always been like customer services for skincare. You know, people would be like, I can't find this, are they discontinuing it? So I would ask the brand and they'd be like, no, it's just out of stock. And I'd be like, no, it's just out of stock. That kind of became my thing, which I think in hindsight, none of it was planned, but it certainly worked to my benefit, because out of the group of us that were blogging then, there's only a couple of us left. It was always more important to me that the reader trusts me than a PR like me. You know, if I annoy a PR or a brand, that's not my problem. I'm just passing on to you either what your customer says or what I think. And sometimes it was only if they asked me, but if they asked me, I'm not going to lie. What, they're obviously asking me because they want my opinion.
Yeah, but your whole business and brand is built on truth and just being authentic, right?
It is
very important.
It is. And, you know, for a while it was easy for people to dismiss me as just being gobby, which I think is a sign of the times of where we've come in terms of just respecting women and their opinion. Anyway, I've totally digressed, but that's me, as you do. That's my train of thought.
We digress. Well, okay, tell me then, second piece of advice.
So when I did start buying makeup, my mother was adamant not to buy a foundation that was darker than my skin tone, because I'm from up north and we like a tan up north. Jolie.
We do. We like tan up north.
But her, you know, she was, my mum did makeup for like Rubenstein and stuff. And she would just say, make sure your foundation matches your face and your skin. If you want to go darker, that's why bronzers are here. And so that was that's something I've used relentlessly in my working life in terms of, you know, Space NK people come in and they pick up a foundation and I'm like, mate, that's Laura Mercier. You are 3 shades lighter than that. And you try and tell them and they're so used to seeing it. And they're like, no, I just blend it down my neck. And I'm like, you're blending it because it's not the same color. Like, yes, you have to blend, but you don't blend it away so it leaves a tiny bit of pigment that makes you look darker. get a fake tan if you want to, but match your foundation to your skin.
Oh, I did that though. I was, and also you wear more because you have to cover the areas.
You have to cover everything.
Yeah, so it doesn't look ridiculous.
And I didn't really buy a foundation until I was much older anyway. It was all, I mean, I don't even know how the stuff stuck to your skin in those days. In the 80s, we had like blue eyeshadow, blue mascara, pink blusher, pale crystal lips.
Bring it back.
Then I went through, oh, no, please don't. Then I went through a goth, sort of semi-goth. I couldn't really commit, but I did dye my hair black and crimp it. And I genuinely thought I'd given my mother a stroke. She was just like, what's this in front of me? And she's always very, very supportive no matter what I do. But even that for her was like, okay, love. And I could see her thinking, please, God, let this be a phase. Please let this be a phase. But mainly because I just left black dye everywhere.
All over the bathroom.
Not because she's judging people. You know, we all have a bit of a crimped hair in the 80s. But it was just like, but your hair isn't black and it's too harsh. But, you know, eventually she said, okay, this is too harsh. This is not what you're supposed to look like.
And you said about base makeup then. So what is your kind of approach to foundation or bases or, you know, face tints now?
I like trying them. I'm very lazy. I don't have time to mix. So if I find a colour that suits me, I go with it. You know, I mean, I know all pro makeup artists would say most people are a mix of two colours. If you find one colour that works for you, you'll probably find, if you can afford it, if you buy either shade, either side, then you've got one to sort of help you through the winter months and one to help you through the summer months where you don't have to jump up a whole shade because the tones are always different as well. So just moving up a colour doesn't mean you're going to move up a shade. You could move from a yellow undertone to a pink and completely look like an orange clown. So it's hard to, you know, always ask a pro. Test it on your hand, test it on your neck, test it on your cheek, ask a pro. And then I do a really good skincare base. You know, I do my skincare first and then I do love a bit of foundation, but nowadays I just apply it sort of across my cheeks and my nose where it's red because I'm older. I don't really need anything on my forehead. It's pretty clear and just seems to have settled into its own sort of skin tone, which is random. But when I put foundation on my forehead, I can see it more than if I put it anywhere else in my body. It's bizarre. Not that I would be putting it on my feet, but you get my point.
No, I think the same though. I don't put foundation on my forehead.
No, I don't. And when people... when I have my makeup done and they immediately go to the forehead, I think, oh my God.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
I'm with you. But also as blondes, like if it goes, I mean, I've got very bad roots right now. If it goes into that bit, then like you can kind of tell on me.
Yeah, you don't want it in your roots. I mean, you know, blend away. And also to apply less. Less is more with skincare and with makeup. You know, you don't want a big, thick glop of cream because it's not going to absorb. It's going to peel off your face. It's going to feel crap. And your makeup's not going to sit anyway. And then if you apply too much foundation, you look like a sort of mummified version of yourself. You know, we're supposed to have some colour and some tone and some sort of context to actually seeing skin, you know. But I do embrace a concealer these days. I'm older. I love a concealer for around the eye, around the edge of the nose, you know, the odd bit of pigmentation that I can't get rid of. So foundation and concealer are always a go-to. I love a By Terry powder. And it's always the ones that she discontinues. It's like she's torturing us on purpose.
Oh, no. The worst when they discontinue your favourite.
The CC one was just fantastic and they discontinued it. And I had to literally beg Space NK to send me the last two that they had.
Have they actually discontinued it? No.
Well, no, they've got another one, but it was like a limited edition one that just suited my skin perfectly. And so now I just use it in very sort of, you know, like
the odd sparing bit
down my nose or across my cheek just to have a little bit of powder.
Yeah.
Because also I'm older and I don't want to have a matte face. I always say that's a young person's game because when you're older and your face naturally goes matte, you want glow.
Glow, glow, glow. Glow is forever my end game. Yeah,
glow all the way. Glow all the way. I'm not interested in matte.
Glow all the way. And we will be right back with Caroline after this.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
Okay, Caroline, we are on to your third piece of advice. So tell me, number three.
Number three was to moisturize your body as well because a lot of people forget. They sort of think you're moisturizing and taking care of your skin stops at the base of your chin. Not only do they not do their neck, but they don't take it down their décolleté, and they never would think of putting a body moisturizer on their limbs. Whereas if you, you know, if you shave your legs, or even if you go for a wax, the first thing they do if you have a wax is to put a cream on afterwards. And so I remember vividly being very, very young, because my mother and grandmother were both in the industry, and I remember my grandmother body moisturizing herself head to toe. She'd do her face, do a routine, and then she'd start on the body. And as she was doing, so funny now thinking about it, as she was doing her body moisturizer and her arms and her deodorant and stuff, she would do her like leg stretches. So she'd stand in front of me almost doing like a silly John Cleese walk, stretching her legs while enabling it to spread around her legs quicker. So stroke of genius, really, multitasking back in the day. So they both loved a good body moisturiser, and that's something Mum and I share. So if we have a few favourites and they're on offer, I'll call her and go, they're on offer, do you want me to pick you up three? And she's like, oh, yes, please. So moisturising body, for sure, would be a very big one for me.
I have to do it every single day.
For sure. And, you know, I always call
every
it,
single day.
You know, tits and arms gets the expensive one. And then waist and below gets my beloved Garnier, you know.
Like it. That is good. Good tip.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not going to use, I love a fresh sugar lemon body, you know, body lotion. But I only use it on the arms and just across the top of my chest so I can smell it. I just want to smell it. I don't want it for its hydrating properties. It's very good. But if I use that all over my body, it'd be gone in a week. I'm cheap.
You know, I like so, it. I like this. I'm going to do this.
Yeah, just tits and arms. And then boobs and below gets my beloved Body Repair Garnier, the red one.
Oh, all hail Garnier.
Yeah, and then, you know, when it's like...
Can't go wrong.
£3 in Sainsbury's, I'm like, fill the basket, lovely. That'll stock me up.
I would love to see you walking around Sainsbury's just with nothing but the whole stock of
that's
Garnier.
That's been me before, for sure. You should see me in B&M. I'm like a woman possessed.
Oh, don't make me go on a tangent about B&M, because I'll never stop.
Oh my God, B&M Super Size Salon Shampoo and Conditioner. Lovely, £7. Thanks very much.
Okay, amazing. Let's go on to your fourth piece of advice then. So tell me.
Do you know what? I kind of ran out of things that I was told, because it was just, I wasn't really given the advice. It was just copying. So it was, you know, taking care of your skin is number one, you know, washing your face, making sure you moisturize your body. And then it was more copying. So the other one that sort of links to it was making sure you take your makeup off every night. You know, so it's kind of the same, but it doesn't really resonate with a lot of people. They think they can sleep in it and, you know, and Charlotte Tilbury's confused everyone with her bedroom eyes for sure. So I, you know, the freaks group went crazy. I was just like, why is she sleeping in my makeup? I'm like, she's not. She just puts black eyeliner on and mascara and let her do what she wants. It's not your marriage. Who cares? You know, but definitely cleansing properly. And I do it. As the females in our family, we tend to get home and it's bra off, hair out the way, face off, in that order. Even if I have shopping to unpack, I feel like I'm dressed and I want to be undressed for home the minute I get in. I don't understand people who, for example, are sitting watching TV at night with their dinner with their shoes on. I don't understand that. And
never.
I don't understand people who sit with a full face of makeup on and their outdoor clothes. Because the minute I get in, I'm in comfy clothes, bra off, hair in a bun, makeup off. Right, what are we eating? What are we watching? And I know it's me. And people would be like, how dare you? I don't go to bed until 11 and I want my husband to see me looking immaculate. I don't. I want my retinol on my face, thanks. If I can do that from 4 p.m, all the better.
Well, there you go. You're getting more out of your skincare as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Also, I feel like I should live in your house. That's exactly what I do. That is my routine as soon as I walk through the door.
Bun up, bra off.
Bun up, and bra off, makeup off. And we're away. We're on Netflix. Okay, let's go on to your fifth and final piece of advice then.
So my advice to people rather than advice I've received would be don't overdo it. And I know people, some people listening might think, yeah, but you're the one who started showing us your routine and some days you'd be doing like 6 or 7 things. But I know what I'm doing and I say that with love. If I'm using 6 or 7 things, there must be a reason. And that would include maybe 1 or 2 cleansers if it was nighttime, a night serum, a moisturizer, a lip balm. Like, it would be a lot. It wouldn't be like I was using 7 moisturizers, you know? Don't overdo it. You know, we as an industry have bombarded people with product in terms of you absolutely have to have a vitamin C, a retinoid, a niacinamide, an azelaic acid, a hyaluronic acid, a glycolic. And actually you don't. Find what works. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, don't be swayed by, oh, this miracle product will definitely do X, Y, Z. especially if they haven't done like a clinical trial. And I don't mean like a user study. I don't care what Doris and Tunbridge Wells thought it did for her skin. I want to see what it does in a lab. Do you know what I mean, Jolie? I just want to see what it does in a lab. If it reacts that way in a lab and scientists have said, oh, actually, yeah, to be fair, we've tested this for X amount of weeks on X amount of skins and in vivo. And, you know, then I'll listen. If it's 15%, you know, 85% of users found that this brightened their skin. Well, if that user is only six people, so what, four people thought it worked and two didn't? What, that's a resounding endorsement for me. No. You know, so I'm kind of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, if you're happy with your skin, when people say, well, my skin's okay, but I really want to get going, I'm like, well, if your skin's okay, then just stick with what you know. Or maybe just upgrade a serum a little bit. Just make sure you've added in an SPF. Don't go crazy.
I love that in your book as well, though. Like, I think it's in the start when it's like, if you're perfectly happy with your skin, this is for you. If you want a few updates, yeah, then here they are.
If you're happy with your skin, don't listen to me. Don't listen to Doris on Kiehl's or Chanel or whoever. You know, I always give people random names. Do what works for your skin. And if you know that you're not going to, because a lot of people, like my most hated term, not just skincare in work, in skincare, in customer service, which I've been doing for years, obviously, is can't be bothered. So when my kids used to say, like my youngest would say, I can't be bothered to do my homework. I'd go, oh, you're tired. And he'd be like, yeah. And I'd go, do you know when I was tired? And he'd go, oh my God. Yes, I know you were tired when I was overdue and they cut you open to get me out. And then you had to breastfeed me. And then, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You were tired. Okay, I'll do my homework. I'm literally like, thank you so much. Don't say can't be bothered in front of me, because I don't stop. You know, I'm a workaholic. And when I stop, I stop. Like, I'll stop to watch Succession. I'll stop to watch Ted Lasso. But I'm still on my phone. I'm probably still working. So this, you know, when people say, oh, it's so important to have work-life balance, I think, oh, shut up. You know, everyone should do what they want to do. I love working. I have two lives. I work and I have my family. And that's it. Social-wise, always tends to end up wrapped up with work, unless I'm going to see like Duran Duran with my bestie. That's different. But I'm very happy with what I do. It's clearly working well. Please stop telling me that I should only look at my phone after 10 a.m. and not after 5 p.m. And I just think, you clearly do not run a business, or you're in denial.
There you go, Carol. Well, I've actually got a very lighthearted question to finish on, which is about your biggest beauty blunder.
Probably talking so openly on a podcast of Grazia.
No. Tell me, have you had any throughout the year?
Yeah, I've had some bad haircuts. Yeah, I've done the blue eyeshadow in the 80s. That wasn't pleasant. Dyeing my hair black and crimping it is probably number one. And that, again, you know, I hung out with goths, but it just doesn't suit my skin tone, Jolie. I couldn't carry it off.
To be honest, I would have liked to see the black crimps. I would have been all for the black crimps.
I will find a picture. It would be very entertaining.
Please do. And we can put it on. On that note, Caroline, thank you so much. It's been brilliant. Huge thanks to Caroline Hirons. As always, it is brilliant to speak with her. Just to say, if you have enjoyed this episode, please recommend Grazia Beauty Life Lessons to friends. Word of mouth and recommendations really is the best way for us to reach new audiences. Take care and bye for now.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.